It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Wednesday? Is this Wednesday? I got so screwed up with my days. I'm just telling you. And you know, usually when I come and join us here on every morning at 7, man, I'm on top of the news. I got to make a confession. We had a little birthday party here yesterday. Our little granddaughter turned 4 years old yesterday, and her mommy has a birthday today, and we ate cake and we did all that kind of stuff. And I'm a little bit behind the eight ball here on some of this stuff. I've been catching up all morning, but I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to want to miss what we're going to do today. Not going to miss it. Well, you're here, so certainly you're not going to. But tell somebody else. Right now, email somebody, say, tune in, because it's going to be, we're going to talk about something today that I don't know if you're ever going to forget. I think the Lord's put something that deep inside of me. Hey, listen, some of you are starting to order the T-shirts. God bless you. They are not shipped yet. I pick them up tomorrow, so they'll be going out by the first of the week. And if you're going to go to next week, if you're going to go to Washington, D.C. with you, we would love everybody to have one of those shirts. Now, also keep this in mind if you haven't ordered it yet. Maybe you want two, meaning this. When we go to D.C., we want everybody wearing the same shirt so we can find each other and see each other and move as a group, as a team. We want to be recognizable as a team wearing a uniform. Now, that may include, if it's 10 degrees below zero, you may have to pull that shirt over a sweatshirt. So you might want to get a larger shirt than what you would normally get so that you can wear it on the outside. And you might want to get one that fits you good so you can wear it in the summer, but it's not the summer right now. And it's a uniform. So keep that in mind as you place those orders about your size in particular. What size is it that you would like to have? And if you get them ordered here in the next couple of days, we'll make sure that you have them by next weekend. Well, whenever that is it? Yeah, I think it's next weekend already. It's amazing. Wow. So do that. And looking forward. I'm really jumping back in with both feet now with this whole, now that they're getting, you do know this, that they're getting ready to bring the second COVID upon us. And why are they bringing the second COVID upon us? Because they want to bring the second lockdown, because the last thing they want to do is permit Hebrews 10 to be in action. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Did you notice that after two weeks of the election nonsense, all of a sudden COVID was back? No more gathering, no more going to church, no more getting together, because the last thing they want is for us to be able to get together and strategize like we're doing right here and say, what is going on and what are we going to do about it? It's the last thing that they want us to do. And as we showed yesterday, deaths are not up. There's not a pandemic, folks. There's not a pandemic. People are not dropping over dead from COVID. Yes, people are getting it. And yes, some people are dying from it, but some people die from the flu. Some people die from encephalitis. Some people, there's a lot of things that people die from, but the statistics show us that the pandemic is not killing an unusual amount of Americans. Somebody give me a thumbs up. So you have that and you understand what I'm telling you, folks. It isn't going on. People are not dying from COVID. They're not dying from COVID. Wonder how we're going to wake up and see this. Look at the statistics. They're not dying from COVID. You would think if COVID was real, there'd be 800,000 people who died natural deaths or whatever they call that. And then another 600,000 that are dying from COVID. It's not, my friends. They're taking all of the deaths. They're rolling them all into the same batch. And then they're sprinkling COVID inside and say, look, it's COVID. Oh, my God. The devil, man. The devil is a liar. The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. Who are his anointed? Who is it? Who are the Lord? Oh, my Lord. Ask yourself that. Who are the Lord's anointed? Because it's that is who the devil is conspiring against. The kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Mike, get Psalm 2 up there, Mike. Isn't that what it says? Am I just making this up? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Come on, man. Let's get your brain working here. And those of us who are on God's team, we're the ones who are supposed to be standing up the most and speaking most clearly the oracles and truth of God in this time. It doesn't do us any good to speak the truth of God in times of peace. We're at war, friends. We're at war. Why do the heathen rage? And do people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves in concrete and take over all the strong positions of the world. And then they take counsel together, and they're taking counsel together against the Lord and against me and against you and against the Lord's anointed. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Lord, help us to see. Help us to see what this war is. Help Christians quit cowering. Folks, people aren't dying from COVID. There's not a pandemic, folks. Amen. There's not one. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, I'm going to get to it now. I'm going to get to it. Because the Lord's been all after. Yes. I'll say it again. Yes. I saw what Attorney General Bill Barr said yesterday. Yes, I saw that. Yes, I did. And then I said, why did he say that? Why did he say that? Stay with me. Monologue time. Why did he say that? All you gotta do is turn on the TV. And you see, there's all kinds of evidence. Why would Bill Barr make the most ridiculous statement in the history of American politics when all the evidence is out there? Why would he say there isn't any evidence? It makes him the laughing stock, especially the laughing stock of those of us who are on the right, whatever the heck that means. Why would he say it? I said, dude, aren't you watching TV? Didn't you watch yesterday? Didn't you watch that hearing that took place yesterday? Didn't you watch that? What do you mean? There's no evidence. It's like that old game show. It's not what they say that counts, what they don't say. So I sat back after, because I didn't really catch much of it. I started hearing a little bit about it last night, and I've studied it this morning. And that was the first question. The first question I wrote down in today's stuff on my computer. Why did he say that? If Bill Barr, I'm thinking now, if Bill Barr is really deep state and really playing a game, wouldn't he come out and make a statement and say what we hear them say all the time? I'm not allowed to comment on ongoing investigations. Isn't that what a guy says? And couldn't he come out and say, I'm not allowed to comment on ongoing investigations and save face? Why would he come out and say there is no evidence when the evidence is so clear? Something's not right here. Something's not right. And can I tell you what I think it is? Sure I can, because it's my show. Here's what I think it is. Two things that are at work here. Number one, I believe what's going on in America right now regarding the election is being done outside the DOJ. Whether it be the military that's involved. Hey, listen to me. Look at me right now. Would any of you right now trust the FBI? Would any of you trust the CIA? Do you even trust your local government? Do you trust? Would you trust any of them? Would you trust Bill Barr? And that? I'm sorry. That's a deep state as far as I'm concerned. And whether Bill Barr's sitting on top of the deep state or not, I don't know. I sure don't trust him. And I think President Trump is dumb enough or smart enough. He don't trust them either. And I think something's going on. Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Okay, I'm going somewhere. So why do you do it? Why would you do that? Why would you come in and hoist your leg on this Attorney General Barr when it is so obvious? Why didn't you just lay low like Christopher Wray and just run out the clock? Why would you come out and poke everybody in the eye? Why would you do that?
Coach, I think it's to galvanize us into action because
I'm on a monologue. Here's what I think. You ready? I think it's about us. I don't think it's about him. I'm going to say it again. I think what's going on in America right now is about you and me, believers, the kings of this earth, the anointed. I think it's about us. And dare I say it to you? Somewhere in the scripture it says this. Hang on. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. And so I got to think pondering today. Mike, bring up Webster's. What is faith? You know, we took 30-some of us, I don't know how long, it was almost a month ago now, wasn't it? In fact, probably was just a month ago. We went to Attorney General Bill Barr's house. We stood outside there, and he came out. We laid our hands on him. Randy prayed for him. We were all there in that moment. And we walked away from that place saying, man, we did something today, didn't we? Wow, the Lord really moved today, didn't he? Boy, the Lord did something. Whoa, did you feel that? Boy, the Lord really opened doors up there on them, didn't he? Whoa, boy, y'all went back and told everybody about that wonderful thing that you had done. And boom, 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 right? And all of us had faith that something big was going on. You could say amen if you want to right now. Say, yeah, I did, Coach. I had faith. Yep. And then yesterday, all that faith went out the window. You can say amen right there, too. Go ahead. Say amen. You can say it.
Amen.
It all went out the window yesterday.
Amen.
See, a double-minded man, the Bible tells us, is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. And could it be that we heard what we heard from Attorney General Barr yesterday was not about Attorney General Barr, but about you and about how thin and shallow your faith is? Somebody say amen, because I'm nailing it. I'm on top of it right now. Dropping B-52 bombs on top of it right now.
Amen, Coach.
I know. Hey, listen, I don't need your amens. I like hearing them, but I don't need them. So ask yourself this question, because I've asked myself this question. When I went to Bill Barr's house, why did I go? Was it, as Larry would say,
my faith,
that the Lord's will would be done? Or was it, did I go to Bill Barr's house because I wanted to get Bill Barr to do something that I wanted him to do? Did I want to step in and supernaturally intervene and change the plan of God? Or did I go simply out of obedience because the Lord told me to go? And I went. And 30-some of you went. You all went. And you all felt the same thing I felt. You all saw the same thing I saw. All of you were there. You all know what I'm talking about. And one statement on TV, boom, your faith went out the window. Hey, you can say, oh, my. Go ahead. Say, oh, my. Oh, my. Because why? Because you went to get Bill Barr to do what you wanted him to do, not what the Lord wanted him to do. Oh, my
goodness. Bingo.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Hey, folks, you think this story has played out yet? You think this story's over? No? Stay with me. Like a good old preacher boy here, I got a lot to lay on your table here this morning. I want you to understand this before I get too much farther. What's going on with the elections and all that stuff is, I went and prayed that God's will would be done, that he would expose what he needed to expose, that he would reveal what he would. I didn't go to Bill Barr's house. I asked Bill Barr to do the right thing, but I didn't go there to get him to do the right thing. I went there to encourage him to do the right thing. And I know this, I was a prophetic witness to Bill Barr. If Bill Barr doesn't do the right thing, the Lord can say, we sent a messenger to you, Bill. We sent a messenger to you.
That's the big amen. You guys did what God called you to do.
That's right.
That is the obedience of God. What Bill Barr does with it, that's on Bill Barr. And that's because we talked about this in that chat room, and I said, God, what the heck is going on here? Because I had to see this through three different lenses. And then I thought about Judas Iscariot, who was called by Jesus. He was one of his disciples, yet he made a decision somewhere along the line. And so I think you're absolutely right in what you're saying. You did what God called you to do.
That's right. So listen, stay with me. I know y'all want to get in here. I know you do. Please just stay with me a second. Just stay with me a second. What is faith? What is faith? Mike, pull up Webster's. Oh, it's up there. Thank you. What is faith? What is faith? Hey, Randy, I went to Bill Barr's in faith. Now, when I went to Bill Barr's in faith, please stop interrupting. When I went to Bill Barr's in faith, I went in faith, not in Bill Barr. I went in faith of the Lord and what he called me to do. And I don't care what Bill Barr did. I did what the Lord called me to do. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so I look around. Listen, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. I said this morning, thank God. If Bill Barr said that, thank God, Lord, you're exposing him. Thank God. Now, my faith has not wavered, not one inch, not one iota. I know it's a deep state. I know Barr could be involved with it. I know the FBI is corrupt. I know the CIA is corrupt. I know the media. I understand. I see the whole picture. I wasn't planning on Bill Barr jumping on a white horse and coming in and saving America. My trust and my faith is towards God, not towards Bill Barr. That's where my faith lies. My faith and trust is in the Lord, that his will would be done. So what's faith? Well, to persuade, to draw towards anything, to conciliate, to believe. Hey, Randy, to obey. In the Greek lexicon of Hedrick, it is said the primitive signification of the verb is to bind and draw or lead like a rope. But this remark is a little incorrect. The sense of the verb from which that of rope and binding is derived is to strain, to draw, to bind, to make fast. So what is faith? According to the Bible, it's a belief. The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by, thank you. Hey. Faith ain't hope. Some of you went to Bill Barr's in hope. You didn't go in faith. You went in hope. Oh, my goodness. This is so good. Oh, my. Make sure we're recording this one. It's the ascent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity. Are you trusting in Bill Barr? Are you trusting in the government? Or are you trusting in the Lord? Without other evidence. Randy, the judgment that what another states or testifies is the truth. And the Lord told me that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So I went to Bill Barr's house. Why? Because I was called according to my purpose. That's faith. I acted on the faith. I have strong faith or no faith. You either have strong faith or no faith. You got faith, baby. You got faith, and it's a matter of how you're exercising it. I have strong faith or no faith in the testimony of a witness or in what a historian narrates. I decide every day what I'm going to believe and I'm not going to believe through faith. So faith is the ascent of the mind to a proposition advanced by another, a belief or a probable evidence of any kind. In theology, it's the ascent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simple belief of the scriptures, of being and perfections of God, and of the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ, founded on the test. See, listen, folks, it's God on the witness stand, not Bill Barr. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith and not by sight. I could go on and on and on. And I can't tell you how many of you got knocked off of your faith horse. Because your faith is in Bill Barr. Not in the overall plan. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, when you either believe God answers prayer or he doesn't answer prayer. Now, when you pray, God's will, thy will be done, and you drop it at that, then what comes down the pike is his will or it's not. And if you believe he answers prayer, then your response is, okay, what's my next action? What do I do next? Not why did this happen or why did that happen? Because then you're questioning God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Here's a good illustration, in my opinion. God is in control of everything, but he doesn't micromanage everything. In fact, he told Randy, I say Randy because I see him on my screen. He told Randy to go pray at Hillary's. Randy didn't have to. Didn't have to. He went in faith and he obeyed. Now, is Randy responsible for what Hillary does as a result of that? No. Because Randy was obedient to the Lord. That the Lord's will might be done through Randy's obedience to do what the Lord called him to do. Right? Folks, this is not hard. This isn't hard. And have you ever in your life sat down and said, Lord, I don't get it. I did what you asked me to do. I sure wasn't expecting this.
Hey, Coach.
Because we look at results. We look at results and we don't see the overall plan. Sometimes you pass on first down because they're not expecting it. Sometimes you run a draw on third and long because they're not expecting it. We don't understand how our block is going to play in the whole play. We don't understand. Go ahead, Alan.
Coach, we're witnessing our Red Sea moment, Coach. That's what we're seeing right now, Red Sea moment.
What do you mean?
Our back's against the sea. We got the swamp army coming against us, and, hey, God's going to have to move, man. It's a Red Sea moment. We're witnessing a Red Sea moment.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, see. I agree with that. But see, the reality of it is, can I just tell you the truth here today? I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it now. I'm just going to say it. We're in the mess that we're in, and we want God to bail us out of this mess because the church has totally ignored the things of the Lord in regards to our society and our culture. Our church has been missing in action. And now all of a sudden we raise up and we go to Bill Barr's house and we want God to perform some miracle when the Lord looks down and says, man, are you kidding me? It's going to take me a while to get this stuff straightened out. I can snap my fingers and can do it, but there's a lot of moving parts here, man. There are a lot of moving parts, God said. I got to get this guy to be obedient to do what I told him to do and get this guy to be obedient to do what I told him to do. And it hadn't happened yet because this guy over here won't do what I told him to do. I can't move yet because, you with me? Not that our efforts hinder the Lord. Don't get me wrong. God's will be done. But could it be it is being delayed because people who have been given an assignment haven't done them?
Amen.
Is it Bill Barr? Is he one of them? Is Bill Barr going to stand before Almighty God? And the Lord says to him, what were you doing down there? I sent 33 guys to your house, and I gave you a warning. And you ignored it, Bill. You ignored it. This doesn't change anything in the plan of what Almighty God's doing. See, we thought, some of us, we were going to Bill Barr's house to get him to vote the right way. Yeah, amen, amen. Maybe we're just showing up as a witness to Bill Barr. You've been warned, brother. We came in peace, and you have been warned. But hey, his truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. God is not dependent on Bill Barr. You with me? Our faith shouldn't be. Certainly our faith shouldn't be. Listen, let me keep going. I know it's been 25 minutes. This has been bubbling in me for an hour. Let me get it out of me, all right? Now, we're told, Mike, if you could, pull up in, Mike, pull up, look not at things which can be seen. Wow. Bear with me. Now faith is the substance. Look not at things that can be seen. 2 Corinthians. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we receive mercy through faith. Make sure I'm in the right spot, Mike. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, and God was lightened. Keep on going down. We have the treasure in that verse, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. The life we live also delivered unto the death of Jesus' sake. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by faith. Talking about salvation. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. What? That they're going to redound to what? To make your life easy? No, no. They're going to redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. What do you mean? What cause do we faint not? That they may redound to the glory of God. We don't faint. We don't faint. That's our job, that God be glorified through it. But though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Watch. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Look, Larry, Glenn, we look not at things which we see on the television or read on the internet. But we look at things which cannot be seen. Because the internet and CNN and Fox News and Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, those things are all temporary. But the things we look for, those things are eternal. And all CNN is, and all the article about Bill Barr, all that is, folks, is evidence. Evidence of what? Well, Mike, pull up. Where am I? Webster's. Go to Webster's again, Mike, if you could. Now, faith is the substance. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. What do we, you think, hey, think God's done with Bill Barr? Anybody think God's done with Bill Barr? I think there's a lot of evidence we don't see. I think there's a lot of it. What do I want you to see, Mike? Substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoping is not faith. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now we're back there again. Now, don't look at things that you can see, because the things you can see are temporary. They're subject to change. Mike, let's go back to Mr. Webster again. Faith is substance. What is substance, Mike? What is substance? Because faith is substance. Hey, Larry, Glenn, Myra, God's going to do something with our trip to Bill Barr. I don't care what happened yesterday. Why? Because I see something you don't see. Huh? I'm not listening to the AP. I'm not listening to the AP. Something bigger is going on than we even understand. So substance says it in a general sense, being something existing by itself, that which really is or exists. Faith really is. It's a substance. It exists. It's equally applicable to matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of a man is called an immaterial substance, a cognitive substance, a substance endued without fault. We say a stone is a hard substance. Why? Because it is by itself. It exists. Faith is substance. It's something real and tangible. It's not just something out in the great by and by. Just by and by. Keep the faith, brother. Oh, I have faith in you, brother. No, it's a substance. It's something, oh my goodness. It's something that is real, not imaginary. It's something solid, not empty. We just can't see it, see? Wow. Somebody said, Coach, this is knocking me out. I know it is knocking me out. So I said, amen. I said, what's evidence in? Because faith is substance and evidence. Isn't that what it said? Hey, look. Some evidence is real. Some evidence isn't real. And the question you got to ask, gentlemen of the jury, is which evidence are you going to believe? If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Really? What if I was the wrong glove? So you get to decide which evidence you're going to believe. You get to make that decision. Evidence is that which elucidates and enables the mind to see truth. Wow. Proof arising from our own perceptions by the senses or from the testimony of others. And we are all tied up in a knot because of what the AP told us Bill Barr said. Well, whose report are you going to believe? I got another report where the Lord said that all things would work together for good for those who called by the Lord, for those who all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. That's my evidence. My evidence is I don't care what ABC says, CBS, I don't care what they say. This isn't just wishful thinking. I have faith towards God that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. He says, Coach, go to Bill Barr's house. I'm going to do something there. I went and did it, and I'm not looking for a report from the mainstream media to confirm whether or not God's doing something. Our senses furnish evidence of the existence of matter, of solidity, of color, of heat and cold, of a difference in the qualities of bodies and figures. The declaration of a witness furnishes evidence of facts to a court and jury. The Lord said he would never leave me and he would never forsake me. I'm standing on that. He says, go ye into all the world and I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. And I believe that. He said, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And that is evidence to me. That's all I need to know. I don't care what the other witnesses say. I know that to be true. I know that to be proof. He said, all, having done all, stand. I know that to be true. And I'm going to do all and I'm going to stand. Why? Because that's the evidence. That's the evidence I believe. It leads me to truth. The declarations of a witness furnish evidence to facts to a court and jury. And reasoning or the deductions of the mind from facts or all attorneys do, Roger, is they are trained to attack truth. Attorneys are trained to place doubt in your mind about evidence that you clearly see. Oh my God, this is so good. You know what I think? I'm going to let you all come in here in a minute. I got more to go. I think we're on the precipice of something so great that we can't even understand it. But you know why you can't understand it? Because you have put your faith in the wrong thing. You're looking at the wrong evidence. My eyes have not seen, neither have my ears heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man, the things that God has in store for those who love him. Boys, that's evidence right there. That's evidence of your faith. And you know what? If you have faith towards God and you have faith in the right things, you're not going to have the ups and downs. So many of you are up and down and up and down, depending on which Facebook story you just read. Up today, down tomorrow. Oh, Barr did this. Oh, my goodness. Rudy said this. Oh, my goodness. Hey, folks, we are in the middle of a friggin' vortex. We are in a tornado in America. It's swirling around us. Batten down the hatches. Hook yourself in. Stand in the midst of the storm. Have faith in God. Not in Bill Barr. Not in Rudy. That's my story. I could go on. I got so many more scriptures I could throw. Hey, folks, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let him expect nothing from God. Now, if I'm God and I'm sitting up there and I'm looking down at me and Randy and Craig and all the people that showed up outside Bill Barr's, and I'm sitting down here and I'm watching our reaction, and I'm God, I'm saying, what is with these guys? I told them to go do it. They heard from me and they went and do it. And now they think I'm dropping the ball on my end. Is that really what's going on? They don't have enough faith in me that I'll keep my deal. I'll keep my part of the bargain. They got more faith in ABC News than me. A lot of false evidence being presented, folks. And you're going to have to make a decision which side of the... Hey, I'm not Pollyannic. I'm not trying to defend anybody. I am simply saying we heard and we obeyed, and his promise is if we do that, good things will happen, not bad. I'll open it up. Come on in, Silver.
All right. When I heard that statement from Barr, the first thing that went into my mind was, oh, the left is going to rejoice on this one. And then the Lord showed me he's exactly right. None of this is at the federal level yet. It is all in the states. Just wait a minute or two.
Joseph, he hasn't seen any evidence of it, has he, Joe?
No.
He hasn't seen any evidence of it. Why? Because it's not on his table yet. Why isn't on his table? I don't know, but could it be that there's another plan at work that we're not in tune with? Say, Coach, that's a stretch. Is it? But it's not a stretch to obey the Lord and then have him turn his back on you. That's not a stretch?
That's not a stretch.
Sorry.
Can I say two things, Coach?
Hang on a second, Clay. Yes, you're the next guy in. I trust the FBI about as far as I can throw them. Anybody else with me? I trust the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. about as far as I can throw them. And I thank God that Linwood, and I thank God that Sidney Powell, I thank God that Christian patriots outside the government are the ones riding herd on this. Thank God they are. I believe God has a plan. Come on in, Clay.
Yeah, I just got two things real quick. One is one of my favorite sayings. I don't know who came up with the saying, but what it is, it's faith. Faith is going to the edge of everything that you've ever known and then taking one more step. And that's one of my favorite sayings. And then the other thing I just wanted to say is, I wanted to declare to all my brothers and sisters on here that if I forward you a news story, I don't want you to think that I've lost my faith, because one of the things, when I forwarded something about Bill Barr yesterday, one of the things I said to everybody was that God does not, he can, God's plan will be done with or without Bill Barr. He'll either use him however he sees fit, or he won't use him at all. So I just want to let you know that, because everybody I talked to yesterday, the best I could tell, had not lost their faith. And I just wanted you to know that.
Can I tell you this? Hey, Mike, pull up Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and get us down to verse 35. I'm going to tell you something. I love all of you, so I'm going to tell you the truth. You guys have more faith in the devil than you do in the Lord. You can't wait to believe what the devil tells you. I told my wife, quit listening to that crap. Quit listening to that. It just destroys faith. It just destroys faith. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I just was on amen you. This is so good. It's just, you're feeding me, Coach. You're feeding me. You're feeding my faith, Coach.
Amen.
I want to weep when I hear people jumping and just, because, Coach, what's under me, I'm standing on what we saw, what we witnessed, what we did. I'm standing on that. You can't talk me out of it. Yeah. You can't knock me off of it because, Coach, I believe God is doing something, and I'm going to stand on it. I don't care what I hear. That's I don't right. care what I see. You're preaching to me. I'm right with you, Coach.
So, Randy, as Larry would say, we want God's will to be done, don't we? Huh? We want Bill Barr to do this. Well, what if that's not God's will? What if Bill Barr doing something else requires God's will to be accomplished? See? Right? Right? Hey, Randy, you lay that big concrete patch down there. Sometimes it doesn't look good. You probably turn to your boys and say, that's all right. We're not finished with it yet. Right?
I always get the right coach on the other side. I never quit. And I mean, that's how God wired me. Maybe that's why I can believe him better. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not saying like I'm any different than anyone else, but we have to decide, Coach. We got to win that battle in our mind. If we don't win that, we're going to look at all the evidence the other side, and we're going to jump ship.
Because the devil's presenting evidence for sure. The devil's presenting evidence. Come on in, Roger.
Oh, I wanted to ask the question because this has confronted me. I've been in those situations where you just don't have enough faith in what's going on. And you're like, well, I've sought wise counsel. I've looked at the numbers, and I'm sorry, that $5 million church addition, the wisdom, you know, I'm not seeing the numbers there, so I'm going to share that. And that's always been, well, you just don't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. Or the person in my office whose house is in foreclosure, and they say, well, we're just trusting that someone's going to bring a buyer to us as soon as possible. So I think there's a need for something. I agree, Dave, with everything you're saying. But for guys like me who maybe look at things, you know, that's a lack of faith, brother. You need to have more faith. And you're like, well, I don't know. The counsel and the wisdom I'm getting says we better slow down on that building committee because we don't have the money to do that.
So, Blair,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. But listen, folks, listen. Please hear me. You have faith. It's just a matter of what you have faith in. Oh, you got faith. I can promise you, you do. Some of you got faith in bad stuff, and you're reaping a whole bunch of bad stuff. I'm not talking name it, claim it. That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. See, faith is going to require you to do something. I know Larry wants to get in here. Larry, hang on with me just a second. I'll let you in here. I'm in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 33, because I hope you're all sitting down. Huh? Unless you want to tear this section out of your Bible. You want to tear this section out of your Bible? You can't. Yeah, well, that doesn't apply here. That doesn't apply. We don't know who really wrote Hebrews, so therefore we can't really trust it. For you had compassion on me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Why? For it hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. See, your problem is you don't trust the promise of God. Were you faithful to do it? Well, you got to wait a little bit. It says it right there. You got some patience. Tribulation worketh patience, it tells us in Romans. Tribulation worketh patience. We have to have a little bit of patience. You got to turn off the TV. You got to quit scrolling on Facebook. You got to stop doing that because you're getting false evidence, right? False evidence appearing real, which is the root of fear. False evidence appearing real. My phone blows up with false evidence. People say, what about this, Coach? What about this, Coach? I say, oh, my, turn it off. Turn it off! Because you know why? Because I know I got to wait just a little while and something's going to come and it's not going to tarry. Go ahead, Larry.
Hey, Coach. This is Bernie.
Go ahead, Bernie. Good to hear you, Bernie.
Hey, I think about the time Jesus, the disciples in the boat, Jesus is asleep in the back, and the thing is filling up with water. And they're like, wake up, what's going on? And he's like, where's your faith? I'm like, so listen, we're in the storm. Jesus is with us, and he's going to see us through. We don't need to be, you know, Hebrews 10:23, hold unswervingly to the hope you profess, for he who promised is faithful.
He's faithful.
His promise is in him.
Our faith is in him, not in his changing of the circumstances. See, we want God to change circumstances, and our faith is in him. That what? He'll work all things together for good. That's what he's going to do. Go ahead, Larry. Let Larry go.
Coach, you know,
let Larry go. He's been waiting a minute. Go ahead, Larry.
It boils down to a simple question and maybe a follow-up. The question is this: is God's will good? Is it good? And the follow-up question is, do you have a better plan than God?
Yeah. Well, you know, Larry, I don't think it's we think we have a better plan. I think it is that we have no plan. And so we turn to God because we have no plan. And we don't even understand his plan. So it's like you could give me, when we were repairing Sky High, you could give me architect's plans. I look, it didn't make any sense to me. I want to see the finished product. But I had faith in the builder that he was going to produce what was on that paper. Why do I have faith in my architect, but not faith in God?
Yeah, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says we have the capacity to even understand him, much less his plan.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Who else did I step on there? Come on in.
Coach, yeah, this is Gary. Hey, Gary. How is it, for example, with a Biden ultimately pulling off his stunt and getting in the White House, how would that be glorifying to God?
Well, Gary, first of all, Gary, is God surprised that Biden's pulling this off? Is he surprised?
No, of course not.
He didn't know this was coming. He woke up this morning and said, oh, my golly, they're cheating over there. He didn't know. He didn't search the minds of men and understand. He knew what was going on, right? And could it be that what's happening is to the glory of God? Because maybe his body is going to arise and fight back. Maybe that will glorify the Lord. Maybe he has to bring so much pressure on us that things have to get so bad. When I was coaching football, I ran those guys till they thought they were going to die. And I told them, no deposit, no return. No deposit, no return. If you're not putting the time and effort and energy in now, you ain't got nothing in the tank on Friday night, boys. And we're putting stuff in the tank today, so we got it on Friday night. And it hurt the whole damn time they were doing it.
Coach.
Yes.
I'm going to pull Randy here. And I'm not the biblical person in this group, but I know how to stand. And I know when God says there, believe in him and prepare yourself what's to come. You got to prepare yourself, mind, soul, and your family.
Amen. Amen. See, we can't, listen, we can't be Pollyannic and say, well, Lord's got this. Oh, he may have it. But what if he could have risen up? And something else would have happened as a result of it. What if you had done something and given the... What if us showing up at Bill Barr's still has not borne the fruit that it's going to bear? We don't know. The Bible says we have to have some patience after we've done the will of God. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, I care less about Bill Barr and a lot of the DOJ, the FBI, just like you. Absolutely. You did. Let me tell you what, yours was a prophetic voice. And let me tell you what, he cannot say that he has not heard and that his eyes have not seen. Whether he's rejected or not doesn't matter. I agree. A lot of the stuff is at the state level. But I think it was yesterday or the day before you even talked about it. I sent you a video, and I don't know if you watched it. I sent it to a personal message to you. But it was absolutely biblical. It was given to me, and it was a perception of we can't go back. It doesn't matter if Donald Trump was reelected and they flip the votes and we go back. The swamp is still the swamp. The DOJ is still in there. The FBI is still there.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw in this video, and it was very biblical, it opens up with scripture, goes through scripture, and it talks about there literally has to be a martial law situation to where the Constitution has to be disbanded in order to resurrect it, to restructure. Because if the foundations be destroyed, what must the righteous do? And the fact is, America is deserving of all the wicked that would come upon it, because we've murdered the babies. We parade our sins like Sodom and Gomorrah. So the only hope for America is we can't just go on as business as usual. This either changes, has to be stripped down in order to be rebuilt, or brother, we are building on sinking sand.
Amen. Yeah, I did watch the video, by the way. I want you to know that. And it see, again, it's a lot of those things that are feasible, seem possible. That's part of what's – see, that's part of the not that that was disinformation. It's part of the enemy's battle, the disinformation. How do – they are flooding the media with disinformation. Bootleg. Look here while I go there. Look here while I go there. There's a lot of disinformation out there, folks. And we have to do what? We have to clutch and hang on to our faith in God through our obedience. That's really all we have to hang on to. Craig, come on in.
Coach.
Yeah, hey, go coach. Ahead. Yes. Naomi.
Tim and I had an opportunity to go to Atlanta in the Capitol area yesterday. And I've been wanting to do a Jericho march, but letting fear get in the way for several reasons. And then wouldn't you know, we had the first snow of the season. And I'm not real crazy about driving in the snow. Well, God brought to mind Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I thought, you know what? I've already walked through the valley of the shadow of death twice with the two cancer diagnoses. What is this going to do to me going down to Atlanta? And then, you know, there's a lot of riots and things that happen down there. So I'm like, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But I just really felt like I needed to make this step of faith. And Psalm 23 just kept going with me. And so we went and we walked seven times around. And Joshua fit the battle of Jericho was the only thing going through my mind majority of the time. But you know what? I am so thankful that I took that step of faith and that I went ahead and did that. And I tell you that this group has really helped to inspire us for that. But you're absolutely right. We've got to have the faith.
Thank you, Naomi. Hang on, Craig. I'll be right with you. The Lord just gave me this. Look, folks, listen. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It appears to be death. It's a shadow. It's a shadow of death. You're not walking through the valley of death. You're walking through the valley of what appears to be death, the shadow of death. And I want you to watch right on our screen right now. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Stay with me for yet a little while. And he that shall come will come. I don't think he's talking about the second coming. That's not what I think he's talking about here. For yet in a little while, he that shall come will come. The answer is going to come. It'll tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Watch. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. How many of us have been drawn back? How many of us have? Go ahead, Craig. You're muted, bud.
There we go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So look at it this way, Coach. Would you rather score a touchdown with a minute to give the team the ball back so they can do it with a minute, or would you rather do it about the last second or two? All right. So we have 12:14 coming up. All right. Understand, this is the feast of dedication of the second temple of Hanukkah. All right, let's go back and think about Kings. Let's go to First Kings, and when David was getting ready to pass away, he was still alive. He anointed his son Solomon. David had lots of sons, okay, because he had lots of concubines. One of his a son that was actually older than Solomon from another wife named Adjuan, he went out and declared himself king. Okay, before David was dead and Solomon had taken the reins. That's the Joe Biden template that you need to read. Go back and read the first couple chapters of First Kings because that's playing out amongst us. The next Old Testament book I would say for folks to read is Haggai. This is when Israel came back from Babylon, and they were sent to rebuild the temple, and Zerubbabel was the governor, okay? And what you read through the story of the two chapters of Haggai is that at the end of the day, that God goes over and says to Haggai, this is the last thing, last verses in Haggai, says, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, okay? And God, Trump is an instrument of God, not a man of God. I keep saying that. Mm-hmm. The son of Shreel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring. And I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, we all got to vote on November 3rd, all right? God's vote has not been gotten through the heavenlies to confirm his signet ring. So don't lose hope, okay? Mm-hmm. This is not over. The best football wins are the ones that happen in the last 2 seconds.
That's right. Craig, folks, listen, you're getting a lot of disinformation. We're just being bombarded with disinformation. And thank God for the revealing that we see going on around us. Listen, 30% they said of Democrats think the election was stolen. 30%, right? Folks, come on now. There's something really, really, really big going on. And as I said, we're in a vortex. We're in the middle of that tornado, and there swings a car flying by, and there goes somebody's roof flying by, and there goes some chickens, and there comes a wicked witch of the west. We're in the middle of it. We're in the middle of a vortex, and this thing has not yet settled down. We have got to anchor ourselves in our faith, be obedient to what it is the Lord has called us to do, and trust that he is a man of his word, and he will do his part if we simply do ours. But the Bible warns us that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. And I'm here to tell you right now that there's going to be unbelievable fruit come because we went to Bill Barr's. There's going to be unbelievable fruit come because we went to whatever that place was down on the land. There's going to be unbelievable fruit come because we went to Hillary's. It says all we need is patience after we have done the will of God. Have we done the will of God? Then we just got to be patient and give this thing time to operate through. Yeah, Jack.
Aren't you really saying stop with all the conjecture, stand, do what you're told, and expect good things? Now, the back to the analogy of the disciples in the sailboat. By faith, they weren't sailing. They were manning the ropes. There was a man on the helm. There was a man up in the front looking in down the water. And they still were running the boat, even though Christ was sitting right there. He didn't expect them to let go of the ropes and let go of the tiller and say, oh, by faith, we're going to go to the other side. We're doing what we're told. We're going the right direction. And whatever happens, happens. If we're doing what we're told, it doesn't matter. All the conjecture you can put up, all the scripture you want that says, okay, we're going to win in the end. It doesn't matter.
No, Jack, because listen, it'd be like this. Jesus could say, hey, boys, we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. Do me a favor. Grab an oar. Will you grab an oar? Yes. We're going to the other side, right? The fact is, we are going to the other side. And if we're just going to sit around and trust the wind to blow us to the other side, boys, we're deceived. Let's start rowing and hope a wind comes up. Let's just go to work every day and know we're going to have to grab the oar. We're going to have to put it in the water, and it's going to be hard work. But in the end of this thing, the promise is going to be there. All we need is patience. It's not going to tarry. God will do what he said he's going to do. That's where I am with it. Stop listening to the lies. I tell my wife all the time. She'll come down and her faith wavers. Turn it off. Just turn it off. And then I say, quit reading that to me. Just stop reading that, will you? Why? Because I believe it's false evidence.
Amen, Coach. I've had those same conversations with my wife. And, there's a way to see things different. But going back to that James 1 scripture of the double-minded man, this is when you look at Bill Barr, it ticked me off, whatever. But the fact of the matter is I'm not wavered in my faith. It doesn't matter what Bill Barr does. This is where, and I've seen it so many times in the church, where is if God doesn't answer a prayer a certain way, then they begin to doubt in God. This is where becomes the double-minded man. Not in the government, but when they begin to withdraw from God because they're trying to dictate to God how to do his job, this is where a man becomes double-minded in all of his ways.
Okay, amen. Dale, let me finish with this thought. We got to go. You know what's amazing about this whole thing? Right now, at this moment, at 8 o'clock a.m. on the second day of December 2020, right now, God has a man strategically placed who's going to come forward and is going to change this whole narrative, and we don't even know who that guy is. We're looking at Bill Barr. We're looking at Rudy. We're looking at all these things, mm-hmm. and God's man, just like David, God's man's been out there fighting the lions and the bear, and he's going to arrive on the scene, and he is going to drop evidence. It's going to be incontrovertible, and God's will be done. Don't be a double-minded man. Unstable. God bless y'all. We'll see you. See you tomorrow.